Hallelujah. This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it and dance in it and get refreshed and get drunk. Hallelujah. Go ahead, lift your hands to heaven and get another drink. Yes, Jesus. Refresh us, refill us. We welcome, fill us and overflow. Hallelujah. You know, there's something you know, after my visitation from the Lord, when my ex-wife, who's now my wife, saw me, she poked me and called me an alien. She said, "You're an alien." You know what? Everyone say, "I'm an alien." You know what? When you're born again, you are now aliens that are on this planet. Hello? People are looking for aliens, and those are demons. Just demons. They're demons with technology. People don't get it. They're just demons with technology. They are fallen angels of God's kingdom. They have technology. The ruler of this earth is Satan. He owns and rules all technology. Hello? These are not spirits from other planets. They're demons. They're spirits from the offsprings of the fallen angels that produced hybrids and offsprings, and when God killed them with the flood, those spirits left and became demons. And that's what a demon is. It's a disembodied spirit that needs a body. Hello? So now we are really the aliens. Once you're born again, you're an alien. Because you know what? You don't belong here. This ain't your home. Hello? And I'll never forget when my wife called me an alien. I thought, my gosh, I guess I am. Everything to me was alien because I saw things totally different than what I used to see things. I looked at people differently. I saw things more in the spirit, taken in dreams and visions and just wanting more and more of God's presence and wanting more and more of God's kingdom. And I began to realize that Jesus specifically wanted something very, very special. And he even gave us the prayer for it. It was a simple prayer. And in that prayer, what does it tell? It talks about bringing the kingdom on earth. God wants heaven on earth. Does everybody get that? He wants heaven on earth. And he's looking for vessels that will become heaven carriers. Because he wants to express himself through us. But see, the enemy wants to prevent us from knowing these things and preventing from bringing heaven on earth. You know, we are at a time and season, and I truly believe that there's going to be an invasion of God's presence and glory because he gave the prayer and it hasn't really been fulfilled yet. And when God gives something, he fulfills it. It's the Father's desire who loves us unconditionally. And when he speaks something, he fulfills it. And heaven on earth hasn't been fulfilled yet. And it's coming. You know, one of the things that begins to happen is when you and I dance and worship, that is the number one thing that pushes back and opens the atmosphere in the spirit realm. Because the earth is ruled by Satan's kingdom, and he has a shield all around it. So he tries to prevent God's angels from coming and going, carrying prayers. We know in the book of Daniel how many days did it take for the angel to bring a message. He had to wait. The angel had to wait for Gabriel because of the principality of Persia was interfering. Those were Satan's angels that are overseeing nations. There are territorial spirits. This is the unseen realm that battles against me and you every single day. They have foot soldiers that are called demons, powers of darkness. There are also servants, human servants of Satan's kingdom that are possessed by demons who serve Satan's kingdom and actually believe that they're going to have victory over the one that created them. They have to be plumb stupid, which they are. So in this, we see that when you and I are dancing and praising, there's another, there's something that happens in the spirit realm. When you dance, you actually paint a portrait. You're painting a portrait. You don't even know it. But you paint a portrait when you're dancing for the Lord. Does everybody get this? Does that happen that you, we just don't, man, you're just waving, you're painting a portrait in the air when you're waving your hands. And the Father's taking all of these gifts. See, to him, these are gifts. See, so while we're praising and worshiping, we're pushing back the powers of darkness. Angels are coming. They're coming. They start to fill the atmosphere. Why? Because the presence of God is the presence of angels. They're the ones that are carriers of God's presence. So where God's presence is, there's angels. And when he releases angels that have been in the presence of God, that fresh presence of God Almighty is brought forth in. The greatest thing that can be established is corporate worship to make an opening. Corporate worship makes the opening. It's difficult to do it yourself. It's corporate worship that does it. And when that corporate worship comes and that opening comes, and the next thing you know, something's there's always, because God's presence always brings some kind of impartation that you don't even know about. Amen? He's preparing something. The Bible says that there's over 2,000 angels working on our behalf. One angel can kill 185,000 people. So what are we concerned about? The whole thing is always quickening us, reminding us, knowing that even though we live here, we don't belong here, and that we are now the aliens in this realm. We used to belong to this realm, but we don't anymore. This is not our home. Now God wants to bring heaven on earth. Amen? In Isaiah 66. Oh, hallelujah. The word says that in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, right? And the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? And at his right hands are pleasures forevermore. So that means as God's presence begins to increase, so does wealth. Everything increases. Is everybody okay? Everything begins to increase for the purpose of expanding his kingdom and bringing heaven on earth. And Isaiah 66, verse 1, thus says the Lord, heaven is my what? My throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? For where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look. In other words, he's looking for a place to build his house, a place for his habitation. On him who is what? Poor and of a contrite spirit, not financially poor. That has nothing to do with it. Somebody that is humble. Humble. And who what? Trembles at my word. Who the fear of the Lord, the reverence and honor and respect. The one who knows that his word is true. Listen, there is a place where God's word is either letter or voice. Where God's word is either letter or voice. And when God's word becomes voice to you, it becomes person. See, so many say, read the Bible, but read it as a book, not knowing that it's the voice of God that's been recorded. And he so desires that we know him as a person. Amen? That he, not only as a person, but as a father who loves us unconditionally. Love. Remember we talked about grace, where people always talk about grace being what? Unmerited favor, but it's really not. That's not grace. Grace is unmerited what? Love. It has nothing to do with favor. That's just doctrine of men. Hello? So God wants his heaven to come on earth. In other words, he wants to bring his throne on earth, and he's going to, isn't he? In fact, he's going to reign here for 1,000 years, isn't he? Amen. So in the meantime, he wants to bring heaven on earth through where? Me and you. Woo. In Matthew chapter 5. Get ready. Matthew chapter 5. In verse 3, what does it say? Blessed are the what? Poor in spirit, for theirs is the what? Kingdom of heaven. Yes. Go to verse 10. Blessed are those who are what? Persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Go to verse 19. And whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Again, he looks at the area of humbleness. God says, I resist the proud, but give grace to the humble. In Matthew chapter 3, heaven on earth. Heaven is about to collide with earth soon. There's going to be a phenomenal explosion of God's presence and glory through his people. Many will get saved. Many will be healed. You know, my heart's desire is always just to lift our hands and say, thank you, Jesus, and the glory of God. Come in and wipe everybody out. That's what I'm waiting for. Nobody has to lay hands or pray for nobody. All of that stuff will be over with. People can just say, Jesus, wham! And it's over. That's what I'm waiting for. Matthew 3, verse 1. Let's read it. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the what? The way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was nuts and honey cereal. Locusts and wild honey. Locust was known as a nut. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the regions around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and what? Thrown into where? The fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly cleanse out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And then Jesus came from Galilee. In other words, he was talking about Jesus. What he was expressing to them was heaven was about to invade the earth through one person. Does everybody get it? He was telling the Pharisees and Sadducees and all those around, yeah, I come to baptize, but one's coming after me, who is heaven, who is the kingdom himself, who is the holder of heaven, the carrier of heaven, who's coming into this realm. The earth was about to be invaded by heaven. Is everybody okay? So Jesus appears to bring heaven on earth in Revelation 12. Revelation 12 and verse 1. How many of y'all don't know that there's a price for everything? Freedom, there is a price. The gift of salvation is a price. Somebody paid the price to get us the gift, and then we must pay a price to maintain it. Amen? In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 1, now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and what? In pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having seven heads and ten horns and seven diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars or angels of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. In other words, heaven came with a price. Does everybody get it? Everything that comes, one of the things that God is always trying to do is get heaven into the earth, bringing things of the spirit realm into the physical realm. And that is done by birth. Everyone say birth. Those are things that must be birthed. And when there's birth, is there pain? Yes, that means sacrifice, suffering. One of the greatest pains that you and I will constantly go through and maintain is the denial of self. Because without the denial of self, you can't birth. And you're going to either birth heaven or hell into this realm. Amen? Does everybody get it? You're going to birth heaven or hell. Why? Because the enemy is going to influence you to birth one or the other every single day. Every day. That's his job, is to try to deceive us so that we birth for him instead of birthing for God. Hallelujah. In John chapter 1. In verse 17. So heaven came to earth through birth. Does everybody get it? In verse 17 it says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the what? Bosom. In other words, God the Father was about to birth the Son. Does everybody get this? Was in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Now look it. The Bible tells us that the three witnesses in heaven was the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. The Son did not exist. Does everybody get this? He was known as the Word. And in this, God was about to birth a Son with the Word. The Word was about to become physical. The heaven was about to become physical. And it could only become physical through the voice of God's words that creates everything. Does everybody get this? So the voice of God through his words that was about that creates everything was about to bring birth to a son that would actually be him. It would be who? Him himself. That's why when Jesus was here on the earth, he says, if you see me, you see the Father. So the Father actually he took a part of himself out of his bosom and sent in himself, called him Son. So he was sending heaven into earth through birth. Does everybody get it? Heaven into earth through what? Birth. Now, go to verse 12. Or go to verse 11. And it says, and he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God or carriers of heaven. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So again, there had to be another birth, isn't it? That's why you and I are born again. We were birthed by the Spirit, born again by the Spirit of God. Amen. Now we have heaven within us. The kingdom of God is where? Within us. And in this, one of the things that God is trying to do, see what prevents things from happening is this. Doubt. Unbelief. Looking carnally. Bitterness. All kinds of goofy carnal attributes. Remember we talked about there's the mind of the flesh, the mind of the soul, and the mind of the spirit. The mind of the spirit is always desiring to birth the kingdom. Always desiring to bring heaven into earth. Amen? So you and I, that's why the word says he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world, that we are more than conquerors. But when you begin to lose that identity, you begin to birth hell, not heaven. Because the enemy wants you to birth something every single day. Anytime he can get you to birth something, he will. And I'll show you how he does that. And Romans, now let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and verse 9. Did you ever go into a place and you could just sense the atmosphere just like, whoa, nasty. Why? Because they're birthing hell. The presence of evil is there. They can't come there unless it's what? Birthed. Matthew 6 and verse 9. In this manner, Jesus said, therefore pray. What did he say? Come on, let's speak it together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And he says, of course, if you don't forgive others, he can't forgive you. So this prayer, Jesus was telling them a simple prayer. He said, pray this. Why? Because he wants heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. That's why prayer is so important, because prayer is what brings heaven on earth. You're birthing things in. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 18. Let's start at 16. Hallelujah. Let's speak it together, please. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God. Joint heirs with who? Come on, man. We're joint heirs with Christ. If we're joint heirs with Christ, that means we are united with heaven. We're one. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be what? Glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed where? In us. In us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from where? Bondage. Of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with what? Birth pangs. Together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he what? Sees. Why? Because we're not hoping for what we see. We're hoping for what the world doesn't see, because we see what the world doesn't see. See, we are truly not of this world. You speak a different language. You try to go home and speak to your family and other members that haven't been born in the Spirit yet. You hang around with them for a little bit. They're going to look at you like, man, what did he say? They're going to call you self-righteous. And why? Because you won't cooperate with their dirty jokes. You won't laugh with them. They'll be watching garbage stuff on TV and you'll walk out of the room. Why? Because you've got heaven in you. People be lying and doing stuff. You won't have any association with it. Because you're totally different. You speak differently. You think differently. You walk differently. You do things differently. Does everybody get it? You're not of this world anymore. And you know what? When you walk upright in our divine order with God, heaven is not only in you, but behind you. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. So everyone is basically in labor getting ready to birth. So many people, that's why the devil loves to come and bring spiritual abortion. He tries to abort what God's trying to birth through you. And he does it by getting you to get into the flesh. Because you can't birth something in the spirit if you're in the flesh. It will abort that, what he put in you. Does everybody understand that? Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, in verse 19. Would you read it with me? My little children, for whom I labor in what? Birth again until Christ is what? Formed in you. I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the what? Flesh. So anything born according to the flesh brings bondage. And he of the free woman through promise, which things are symbolic. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. And this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her. But Jerusalem above is what? Free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he was born according to the flesh, then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. So let me tell you, because you were born by the Spirit, you will be persecuted. Now some of us bring on our own self-persecution. That doesn't mean because you're being persecuted because you're in the Spirit. You're being persecuted because you opened the door to the enemy. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the what? Bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Why? Because we are born of the Spirit, which is heaven on earth. Amen? Galatians 6, while we're here, in verse 7. Do not be what? Deceived. God's not mocked, for whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So we know that there's that law of sowing and reaping. One of the things the enemy wants to try to do is to get you to agree. Why? So if you sow to the flesh, does everybody get it? Look, when you sow to the flesh, you birth. Does everybody get it? When you sow to the Spirit, you birth. So you're either going to allow the presence of God to flow through you and allow the presence of the enemy to flow through you. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not what? Lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of the faith. In James chapter 1. Is everybody getting this? Heaven on earth. Man, we want heaven to constantly flow. Let me tell you, heaven is a river. It's a glorious river that flows, and everything is in this enormous river. It's great. What does it talk about? Remember paradise? What came from paradise? The rivers. It talks about the river that flows, where there'll be trees on both sides, healing trees of the nations. All kinds of... Why? It says it looks like it'll be crystal glass. That's, remember, God's throne. He wants his throne. So when we praise and worship the Lord, heaven manifests. Angels come. His throne is here. He searches the hearts and the thoughts of his children. He moves on your behalf, dispatching angels on your behalf. He knows whether you're in line or out of line. He knows what's going on. There's nothing hidden from him. We've got to stop this foolishness to think that God doesn't know. He don't know. It's like hiding behind a glass window. Nobody will see me. You know, and that's, the, you know, when people, anyway. Hallelujah. James chapter 1. Glory. Don't go there, guy. Okay, yeah. We'll just continue. Verse 14. But each one is tempted when? When he's drawn away by his own desires. His own what? Desires. So are you monitoring your desires? What's this desire? You know, somebody, you don't, monitoring your desires means you monitor your motive. You, if you're not monitoring your desires, you're not monitoring your motive. And people are doing things and saying things and reacting on things because they don't monitor nothing. They just shoot whatever they think, whatever they feel, and have no idea that they're birthing hell and not heaven. Then they wonder why they have problems in their homes and everything else. Hallelujah. All right, let's go a little further. Verse 15, it says this. Then when desire has conceived, it gives what?
Birth.
Whoa, wait a minute. When desire has conceived, it gives birth to what? Sin. This is an ungodly desire, isn't it? And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth what?
Death.
So, how does this happen? Well, go to Proverbs 18. This is something we ought to know by now. The word says when two touch and agree, it does what? It comes to pass. So many people just think, you mean I got to agree with someone? No, you agree with a thought. You agree with that thought, it's going to come to pass until you break it. Now, you may agree with it and then repent and break it, right? And it won't come to pass. Because usually when you agree with a thought, you speak it. Hello? And it says something very, very powerful in verse 21. What does it say? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its what?
Fruit.
So when the enemy has convinced you, he has pushed you, he has said something to you, you agreed with it and you spoke it, you've either birthed hell or what?
Heaven.
So when it comes from the enemy, you birth hell. When it comes from the Lord, you birth what?
Heaven.
Doesn't the Bible tell us that the word is a what? Lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path? Why? Because the things of the word of God are being spoken. What are you birthing all the time?
Heaven.
And heaven is what?
Light
and life. So you're setting that course before you. That's why prayer in the morning is so essential. That's why decree is so essential. Because what you speak is what you eat, right? And what you eat is what you become. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go to Romans 14. Romans 14. Lord, we need to repent for all those things that we birthed that were of the enemy. Can you imagine all the things that we birthed that the Lord showed us for the enemy?
God.
That's why we're to be quick to repent, aren't we? Oh, Lord, forgive me. Put a sock in my mouth. Romans 14, is that what I said to go? 14:16. Let's speak it. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. In the who? Holy Spirit, the one who what?
Birthed you.
John 7, Gospel of John, verse 7. Righteousness, peace, and joy. John 7:37. And on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of what?
Living water.
That's God's presence, isn't it? You know, it's pretty. What do you think? Remember when the woman that he met at the well? What did he tell her? He said, you take a drink of this. In fact, he asked her, he says, you got something I can drink from? She goes, well, you don't carry your own? You know? And the Lord exposed her dirty laundry, you know, because she was talking about the gentleman that she was with. And the Lord said, yeah, you've been with five of them. You know, You must be a prophet, she said. Yeah, no kidding. And he told her, he said, you can drink this water, but you're going to thirst again. But I got water that you can drink of. Why? Because heaven was now on earth. Does everybody get it? He was saying, look, drink from me. I am the living water. And then if you'll start drinking from me, then rivers of living water will flow through you. And now living water will flow through your mouth. Through your mouth. Why? Because you won't... life and death in the power of the tongue. You'll begin to speak things that are manifesting and birthing heaven instead of birthing hell. Yeah. Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 14. 3:14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family where? In heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the what? Inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him he was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works where? In us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So our family, man, there's times when I talk, I'm like, good morning, everyone. I know you're all watching, man. I know there's angels around. I remember one night I took my dog for a walk when I had my Demon Slayer dog. And we were walking, man. I could sense there was angels on both sides. And, man, I was just talking to them all. And we were walking. And then it was time to go into the house. And when I went into the house, I said, man, this ain't fair. I got to go through the door and you guys don't. I said, but one day... one day I won't need to open this door anymore. I can go through it. And I'm looking forward to that day. But, you know, that's the reality, making the unseen more real. If we'll start making heaven more real to every single day, everything that, you know, I'd be leaning on something saying, man, you know what? This thing ain't going to be here long. Why? Because everything's going to burn. I'd be leaning on the tree. I'd be talking to people, I'd be thinking, man, you ain't going to be here long either. You keep that up, you're going home quicker than you realize. Glory. 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4. And verse 7. Let's speak it, please. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. Love. Why? For love will cover a multitude of sins. I'm telling you, you can expect an invasion of God's presence and powerful love. It's going to be just saturated with God's love. And people will know that you are believers because of the presence of God on you that will be radiating his love. They'll turn around, wow, man, I feel love on that person. You know, you can turn around now and feel the presence of evil on people. But there'll be such a love pouring out of us, like an unconditional flowing. And it's coming. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as God, good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be what? Glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. The end of all things. Listen, in 2012... oh, no. What are we in? 14. Well, in 2012, hold on. In 2012, there was the age of darkness established. Does everybody? I mean, darkness we know has been, but there was the there was a whole level of the age of darkness that infiltrated the world from hell, from everywhere. It was a turn. That's why if you look at all the calendars and all the Mayans and all the other tribes out there, that they always talked at the end of the world being 2012, but it was a new beginning of the age of darkness. But in that, the Lord responded in the area to where he set a new course for his kingdom. See, we've been talking about the new age of darkness, but there's been a new shift of the Spirit of God since 2012 also. There's more infiltration now than there's ever been. In all kinds of areas, through business. Things. It's no more church like it used to be. It's through business. It's through all kinds of things. Arts and all. Any talents and abilities that people have. God is using them to infiltrate the world. And all of these people that are all over the place. Let me tell you, there's revival going on in Iraq. People don't know about all that. There's revival going on in Saudi Arabia. There's revival going around in Mecca. It's all underground. There's revival everywhere. Jesus is appearing. The kingdom of heaven, the person, is appearing to multitudes of individuals all over the world. All over. And he's preparing them for his return. But he's waiting for a specific amount of individuals to come into the kingdom before he comes. One of the things he's trying to do is get his children that have turned their backs on him. Those that have fallen from doing his will, doing their own will. That's why this pouring out that's going to come is going to bring conviction, turn around, and healing. The manifestation of God's presence and glory. It will come. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4. You know, the book of Acts was an example of heaven on earth. It's not over with. Extending in a multitude of different arenas now. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Is everybody okay? In verse 7. Would you read it, please? But we what? Have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. We are what? Hard pressed on every side. Yet not what? Crushed. We are perplexed but not in despair. Persecuted but not forsaken. Struck down but not destroyed. Always carrying about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what it is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being what? Renewed when? Day by day. For our light affliction, your light affliction is birthing. Does everybody get it? For our light affliction, which is but for a what? Moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. Hallelujah. Go to the book of Revelation 12. Revelation 12, in verse 10, heaven on earth. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by what? the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Now wait a minute, even if I'm on earth, I can still be in heaven. Do you understand that? Because heaven, I'm dwelling in the presence of God, and heaven is dwelling in me. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a what? A what? Short time. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted a woman who gave birth to the what? Male child. Let me tell you, even after you give birth, you're going to get persecuted. You know, some people won't understand what you gave birth to. You might not understand it yourself sometimes. But when God gives you a mission and a purpose and certain things to accomplish, during that process of accomplishing that, you'll begin to birth things. Because there are certain things that are going to come against you that you have to pray to combat. You're combating this, birthing something in. That's why we believe in first strike. Amen. Every day, if we first strike, what are you doing? You're bringing forth in to fight against the powers of darkness and principalities. Why? So that there could be free flow of the angels working on all of our behalves. So things are being taken from one place to another, brought forth in from the heavenly realm into the physical realm, where people are being rescued. You know that there are people who are dying. One of my prayers every day is, Lord, rescue those who are dying. In other words, a person that's given up his last breath and dying, I'm asking the Lord to rescue that person. Does everybody understand that? You know, before Whitney Houston died, I don't know if you know about this, she actually rededicated her life back to the Lord. She was out with a group of friends, and they went to a club, and they asked her to sing. And she kept saying, no, no, no. And they finally convinced her to sing. And as she began to sing, she began to sing of her pains and all the things that she had done and repentance and everything, and was rededicating her life back to the Lord. And then she died. Well, I think it was the day after she was, whatever. You know, who you serve when you die is where you go. But in the process, who knows what God's going to do? Does everybody understand that? That's why we pray. In other words, if somebody's dying, if they're in a coma, people in a coma can still receive salvation. Do you understand that? That's all they need to do is speak to the Lord, right? They're still awake, aren't they? Their inner being is still awake. Their spirit man is still awake. Their spirit man can be repenting and asking God for forgiveness. Does everybody understand that? That's why we're to pray, Lord, rescue those who are dying today. Rescue them from hell. Why? He desires no one to be lost. No one. Even the most idiot person on the planet. Even the most wicked person on the planet. He created us all. We're all his children. Just deceived, lost, destitute. Not of God's divine order. Revelation 21. I heard that testimony about Whitney Houston the other day. Don't know how true it is, but hopefully it is. At least that's what the people were saying when they were with her. Revelation 21, verse 1. Is everybody there? And now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. That's when we're reunited here. Does everybody get it? And I want to close in Ephesians 1. Heaven on earth. In verse 3, Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? every spiritual blessing in where? Heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Hey, that's kind of wild, isn't it? He chose us before He created us. Why? Because we are in Him already. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise and the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, through the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. Well, see, heaven will be united to heaven. Does everybody get it? Whether we're here on earth or not, heaven will be joined to heaven. That's what the rapture is about, heaven to heaven. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with what? The Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. And everybody said amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Father, we thank You for Your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that the seed of encouragement, that we be heavenly bound in all things, but free in all things, be established in us and through us, that we will be quickly reminded and constantly before us, making what is unseen to be seen, walking in Your peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit, and allowing signs and wonders to follow each and every one, that people will know that the kingdom of God in heaven is here on earth, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Be blessed.